In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God.
Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me, and hear my prayer.
How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame?
How long will you love illusions and seek false gods?
Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
The Lord will hear when I call to him.
In your anger, do not sin.
When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent.
We pray, O God, our sin is a great burden we cannot bear.
By your mighty power, help us to remain faithful in turmoil and suffering, and to rely on your grace for forgiveness each day and for eternal salvation.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 8 through 15. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted?" And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against the city. You have heard it with your own ears." Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live on in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Second reading comes from Galatians 2, 15 through 21. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The gospel this day is recorded for us by Luke in the 9th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. We rise for this gospel reading. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him, and when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Here this evening, and Lord, reassure us of that love you have for each of us. And Lord, that as we hear these words, that they don't just only go into our ears and into our mind, but they travel to our hearts, Lord, so that we are equipped to serve you in this world and to show that same love and compassion to those around us. Lord, we ask that you would just block out a few of the distractions that we might have in our minds right now, so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue with this series this evening, as I said in the opening, that it's beginning to mesh for me and make a little more sense, and I pray that will be the same for you as we go through this. Last Wednesday, it was more of an overview of the whole idea of the mystery of the Father's love and how someone could give up one of their children for the sins of the whole world. Last Wednesday, as we looked at the call of the cross, and I hope this begins to make more sense too. I thought Pastor Poole did a wonderful job explaining to us that call that people have in their lives, and not only the call that we have, the call that Jeremiah had, that direct call from God, that you're going to go to the Israelite people and proclaim I want to say it's good news, but they probably felt like that was bad news because he's directed them to repent, to turn from their evil ways, and the good news being that if they turn, they will be restored. That devastation that Yahweh was going to bring on them would not happen. And so as we think about our calling in life too, we've been called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. If we look at the cross, Jesus had that call. Ultimately, a call to come into the world to die on the cross for us. And then us now, living in our vocation, which is our job, wherever God has placed us, for a lot of you here on the front few rows, is a school. Wherever we are, whether we're in our job, at school, that's our vocation, that's our calling in life, but yet God can do great things through us. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary to do those wonderful things that God calls us to do. And so I'm going over that because I think that with last Wednesday, the call of the cross really brings us to our topic for this evening, the burden of the cross. Just like with just about anything else in the world, there are some ups and downs as we live our life in this world, whether it's in our job, whether it's at school, you're going to face some ups and downs. And the same is true for us in our Christian walk. There's going to be those ups and downs. There's going to be those challenges. There's going to be those rewarding times. And I pray, you pray that the rewarding times are more than the those burdensome times. But unfortunately, Jesus doesn't promise a smooth walk as we go through this world as a Christian. In fact, in the gospel reading for this evening, he tells us if we're going to come after him, we have to deny ourselves, and take up our cross daily and follow him. And wrapped up in that deny ourselves is automatically something that goes against who we are as people. And it also shows us, I think, that denying ourselves is somewhat of a burden because I want to do what I want to do. I want what I want. I don't want to give up. I want everything for myself, and denying myself means I'm giving up something for me and I'm looking out to others. And so as we deny ourselves, we're somewhat putting ourselves in a position of setting ourselves up with a load that we're going to carry. And when he says deny, take up our cross and follow him, if we think about the cross that Jesus carried, and we think about a cross then that we need to carry, that can be some burdensome times. As I mentioned, the presenter Dr. Winthy used to be the president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And he's the one that presented this material at our conference. And, you know, he said that he was involved, and this is where I'm really bad. I can't remember exactly if he was over there or he just talked to some people doing some mission work in Lithuania. And he said that those people, you would hear them say, "Oh, we can't wait to see our pastor. Oh, we can't wait to hear his words." And I'm sure that's what all of you said tonight, right? Before you came here. You know, we can't wait to see Pastor Rich and Pastor Poole, man. We can't wait to hear what they have to say tonight. And on Sunday mornings, probably the same thing, right? Well, maybe not. Definitely not the words that Jeremiah heard. Okay? When Jeremiah was called by God, he went and presented them and approached them with some news to tell them to turn from their evil ways, to turn from their idolatry, to turn back to Yahweh. And what was their response? They wanted to kill him. They didn't want to hear his words. They didn't want to see him. In fact, they probably ran when they saw him, tried to hide from him. And I think about our lives, too, as a Christian. Do people always want to hear what we have to say? And unfortunately, not. In the world that we live in today, people do not want to hear the words we have to say. If you're standing in a group of people and you're discussing someone else, maybe in a negative way, people don't want to hear you say, "Let's don't talk about them." If you're making fun of someone at school and there's a group doing that, they don't want to hear one of you stand up and say, "Hey, let's don't do that." And then it just spirals down from there with the world we live in as far as immoral living. If you slightly suggest to someone that what they're doing is wrong, they don't want to hear it, right? And then I thought about this, that's part of that burden, that's part of that cross that we bear in the world that we live in. Now, I kind of looked like that didn't make sense, is that? Okay. Anyway, it's part of our cross that we're bearing in the world as a Christian that, you know, people aren't going to like what we say. And then I thought about this too, and unfortunately, I may not like what some people have to tell me either, right? I mean, I don't want to hear someone tell me, "Hey, stop talking about them," or I don't want to hear someone tell me that, you know, you're going down the wrong track here. You need to turn your way around. We don't like to hear that ourselves. And so as I thought about this cross that we bear, it's almost a two-sided cross to some extent. And part of it is people are not going to like what we have to say. And then sometimes we may not like what others have to say to us as well. Because we all need a reminder of God's word in our lives. We always need that reminder of repentance and the love of Christ that's in us and that God has for us. Ultimately, the beauty of all of this is that Jesus came into our world to take on the burden of our sin, to bear the cross for us. And through that cross, he takes on the punishment that we deserve. He takes on our sins upon himself so that we do not have to experience eternal punishment for what we have done. And I know a few weeks ago I told you to think about seeing Jesus on the cross. And I thought about this again, is if we can see him hanging on that cross, if we can imagine that blood that's running down his head, that's from those thorns that has pierced his skin on his head, and if we can think about the nails that were driven through his hands and his feet and that blood that comes flowing from that, if we think about his side that was pierced and that blood that flowed from his side, that blood was what? As our opening song said, that blood was red. But yet that blood washed us and made us white. It purified us. It cleansed us from our sin. And through that blood that Jesus shed on the cross, we have forgiveness. We have the forgiveness of our sins. We have the promise of eternal life. And so now as we live our lives in this world, we know that it's going to be a burden at some point. And we also know that it's going to be a burden because we can't bear the weight of it sometimes. We give in. We won't do exactly what God has called us to do. But in both of those situations, whether it's the weight of our sin or the burden of proclaiming the gospel message, that forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross is ours. It's ours, and his love for us never goes away. And he promises us that forgiveness. And we have the assurance that we have eternal life waiting for us. As we look at the cross, I know in the bulletin it says the burden of the cross, holy enfleshment. Jesus was the holy Son of God that came into our flesh, took on himself our flesh, and died on the cross so that we would not experience eternal death. And so I pray that as we continue to go through this series, that as we go through these different, and I tried to come up with what I might call it, the different aspects of the cross that we may not think about all the time, but the burden of the cross is one of those. When we look at the cross, we sometimes don't think about, we know that Jesus died for us, but I don't know if we always think about the true burden that he bore for us on that cross, and then us as Christians, the burden that we carry as we take up our cross daily to follow him. And so I pray that God strengthens us each day as we deny ourselves and as we take up our cross daily to follow him. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Forgiveness and to promise us eternal life. Lord, we do ask now that you would be with those who are suffering, those who face challenges each day. We have those that we name in our hearts, and Lord, certainly those who are suffering the effects of cancer through treatments and various other things that they're going through. Lord, we lift up Francis Trunk, Cecilia Jensen, Alice Jeske, as they all have broken some bones. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing to their body. Lord, we lift up Mildred Couch, who is hospitalized at the time. But Lord, we also continue to pray for Gary Tyson, who it appears is at his last days here on this earth. Lord, we pray that you would surround all of these people with your care, reassure them of your presence in their life, and Lord, be with the families as well as they go through these difficulties. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we ask now that as we come to the close of another day, that we would return to our homes safely. Lord, that you would give us a good night's rest, and so that we are ready to wake up in the morning refreshed, and Lord, to take up our cross and to follow you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And gracious God, we thank you for the gift of rain that you have blessed us with. We know that your timing is always perfect, and Lord, we are thankful that you sent the rain to refresh the earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray all of these prayers and any other petitions that we have in our hearts in the words you have taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We remain standing for our closing hymn.